There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Virunga National Park has been closed to tourists. You may have seen this in the news following the kidnap and subsequent release of Robert Jesty and Bethan Davies. They were both in their 20s. Officials have actually declined to say how the two were released or whether their abductors have been detained or not. Various different websites are telling us different things, that ransoms were not paid. Some websites are saying that kidnap victims would never be released had a ransom not being paid. So during the kidnap, Rachel Baraka, a ranger who was only 25 years old, she was shot and killed trying to protect the tourists. Awful, awful story, Mark.
It is. Now, a lot of people have been asking, why do tourists visit Virunga National Park following this story? It's one of Africa's most stunning parks, and a lot of people visit to see the gorillas in the wild. The park is home to a quarter of the world's remaining 880 mountain gorillas and 2,500 hippopotamuses.
Another reason why people go there, over Rwanda, which is nearby, is cost. Virunga is far cheaper than Rwanda, where prices can be between 2,750 dirhams and 5,500. That was last year's figures. Whereas you could visit Virunga for 1,400. So cost does play a part in this. Yeah.
Now, we're going to be chatting to one of the people who did decide to visit Virunga in just a second. That's Adam from the travel blog, The Hitchhiker. He was there a couple of weeks ago, and Rachel, who was killed last week, was one of his guides.
The park only opened to tourists back in 2014, and since then tourism has contributed $2 million towards Virunga's annual budget of about $9 million, so it's very important to them, the tourism. But we must reiterate that the attack has forced the park's boss to actually close the park to tourism right now.
Yeah, so traveller explorer Adam Hickman, he's based right here in Dubai. As I said, he was there in the park a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him why, first of all, he wanted to travel there.
Why Congo? Somewhere I've not been, but specifically the Nyiragongo volcano crater, which is one of the most active volcano craters in the world, and it's located inside Virunga National Park. That was the main reason. Second reason was the gorilla trekking.
Okay, so specifically you wanted to go and see, you know, two things there. I mean, did you do any research before you went? I mean, were you aware of any dangers before you went?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of vigorously research every location before I go, but I guess there's only so much research you can do. I mean, from a safety point of view, I was in a group of five. The safety element was something that kept kind of cropping up on the radar, but in terms of safety in Virunga National Park itself, you know, there's been various incidents over the years, but it had been almost 20 years since there was an incident involving tourists rather than rangers. So from that point of view, we deemed it relatively safe to go on the trip anyway.
Virunga National Park, is it somewhere you've ever thought of going?
It isn't. And, you know, but 20 years since an incident happened with tourists, I mean, it would be off the radar completely, wouldn't it? You wouldn't even think about it.
No, there is advice to not travel there.
But no tourists have been harmed in 20 years. Okay, maybe there's problems with the rangers and the rebels, whoever they are, but there hasn't been a tourist incident in that time.
I don't know. The British government website, I was looking at it this morning, and they say there's a high risk. Before this happened, they said there was a high risk of kidnap and terrorism within the park.
Really?
I just wouldn't.
No.
I don't think I could find myself going there.
Now, talking to Adam, you know, the ranger who tragically lost her life was actually assigned into his group.
Yeah, I mean, each group is assigned with two to three rangers, and Rachel was one of the rangers that was joining us on our group, not for the gorilla trekking, but she was one of the rangers on the hike to the active volcano crater. Sadly, she was the ranger involved in the incident last week.
So, you know, did she speak about security and about dangers in the area at all?
But the rangers weren't sort of the best English speakers, but we had a an actual guide with us as part of the ranger team. And he was just saying how sort of proud they are of their job and disciplined they are in terms of protecting the national park itself. I think from what I could gather, I think all of the rangers are aware of the risks involved with that specific nature of the job, and I guess just one of those things really. But they're very sort of proud people in terms of Virunga National Park is such a special place with the population of mountain gorillas. Yeah, it's just very, very sad, really. It's hit me a bit close to home as I've sort of met Rachel.
Of course, that's really difficult to imagine, isn't it?
It is.
2 weeks ago he was there in the park. Eight Virunga Rangers have been killed since the start of 2018, bringing the total number of Rangers killed to 176 over the last 20 years.
Now, Mr. De Merode, a Belgian prince who was appointed the park's director in 2008, said, even though it's probably one of the most dangerous jobs on the planet, not a single ranger has left the ranger corps. They've pulled off one of the greatest achievements in modern conservation, which is not just the protection of the mountain gorillas, but also the recovery of the gorilla population, which has quadrupled since 1985. So following on the back of this incident, I asked Adam, you know, is it a place that he would consider travelling back to?
Probably not, only because I sort of explored everything I wanted to in that region, so I wouldn't go back, but it's somewhere I'd actually recommend. I mean, I had an amazing trip. I mean, being so close to the active crater and seeing the Geni family of mountain gorillas, the largest family left on Earth, was just an amazing experience. And sort of aside from the safety issues that happened last week, it really, really was an amazing trip. Never at any point did me or my tour group feel sort of unsafe or exposed at any time, to be honest.
I mean, what do you think this will do, though, to tourism in the Congo, you know, and especially to this national park?
I think Congo relies on tourism quite heavily with Virunga National Park. But obviously, I think you'll see, I guess, a knee-jerk reaction and a bit of a decline. The tour company that we used has sent out an email yesterday saying that they're not running tours for the next 3 weeks. As with anything, if there's ever an incident in a specific country, people always err on the side of caution. I mean, me being British, there's a UK government website you can log on to for sort of, you know, a summary of entry requirements and the latest safety information for each country. And Congo's never exactly been one on the list that's been regarded as a place to visit. A lot of it is rated a red zone, and then some areas are rated an amber zone, which is all but essential travel. So I guess they're the kind of websites that you know, people pay attention to. It is a shame. I mean, I would encourage it not to put people off if you're looking into account of the number of incidents involving tourists. You know, over the past 20 to 30 years is very, very minimal in relation to comparing with other countries.
It's really interesting there what Adam said, though, about how he never felt in danger at any point when he was in Virunga National Park. And that's the thing, isn't it? You don't feel in danger until it happens.
Exactly. I mean, you know, you're not planning for anything like this to happen, but it just happens, and suddenly there it is.
And everyone has to measure the risk they take when they travel. It's your decision completely to go wherever you want to go. Mm-hmm. But you have to decide whether some things are worth the risk. For some people, seeing the gorillas in the wild like that will be worth the risk.
Yeah, maybe, but we'll find out a little bit later on this afternoon. There's other places to see gorillas as well. I wrapped up the conversation with Adam and asked him, you know, if this incident, and knowing that it was there just a couple of weeks ago, had it shaken him up?
Yeah, I guess it shook me up a little bit, because Virunga National Park as a whole is a huge, huge area. And the fact that it had been pinpointed to the specific location where I was only 2 weeks earlier. I wouldn't say it's took any shine off what was an amazing trip, but it's just unfortunate because, you know, via my blogging site, I have actively encouraged people to visit that particular region.
We're going to be chatting to Shane Dallas, who is also known as the Travel Camel. He had an opportunity to actually go and see the gorillas in Congo, and he turned it down, despite being very comfortable travelling in that region.
Yeah, an interesting conversation coming up with Shane.
We are discussing the Congo this afternoon, Virunga National Park, where two British doctors were kidnapped and then released. Their ranger, Rachel, was shot and killed during the kidnap, and we just spoke to Adam Hickman from the Hickhiker Travel blog. He was there 2 weeks ago. Rachel was his guide in the park. Very moving conversation. If you missed it, you can hear it again on the blog.
We also wanted to speak to the Travel Camel, aka Shane Dallas, on this, because he actually turned down a trip to go there despite being very comfortable travelling around Africa. And I actually started off by asking Shane, why he didn't want to go and why he turned the trip down.
It actually reminds me of when I was planning to see the gorillas back in 2008. And my original idea was to go to this very area, exact same area, the the park that borders with Rwanda to see the gorillas. And it was interesting. I was planning to go in May, so it was effectively 10 years ago now, and I was planning in February, and then I started reading reports that there was violence in the area and the park rangers were being attacked. And on reading those reports, I thought, okay, I don't think it's stable at the moment, and I changed and instead saw the gorillas in Rwanda. So this is quite similar. There were warning signs about this. 6 weeks ago, six guards were killed in conflicts, and this is an area that goes through waves. So a couple of years ago, it was a lot less trouble, but this year, as it has, this year has seen an increase in violence. So these are the warning signs, and when you travel to these places, you need to look out for the warning signs. And the fact that violence had increased, and it wasn't just tourists being targeted, it was actually mostly guards and rangers, shows you that there was increased instability in the area.
I mean, you would assume if you're travelling to a safari park that there's security in place.
That is true. There is security in place, but it depends on the amount of people who are the kidnappers. So you, a vehicle with a couple of guards can easily be overwhelmed by a dozen surrounding a vehicle. I mean, that's not going to be protection. And it seems in this case, I don't know how many attackers there were, but there was enough easily to overpower and kidnap alive. And thankfully, they've been released, the two Britons. It's a hard thing. And this brings up a point of when you travel to places which can be volatile, booking too far ahead is sometimes not a wise idea, because situations can change. I know my bookings were only going to be 3 months in advance of my planning, and then it was obvious. Now, imagine if I'd looked at that booking to book to go to Congo the previous year, say a year in advance, suddenly I've paid, everything's locked in. What do I do then? And it becomes quite difficult. So my advice when going to a lot of these places is don't book so early, book a little bit later, and keep mindful of what you're seeing in the news.
That's really interesting, isn't it? Because we always hear, book early, book early.
Yeah.
But Shane's advice with this is to book late, so you can watch
Yeah, watch what's going on, yeah.
But then it's difficult, isn't it? Because we were just speaking to Adam Hickman earlier on. He said even what happened this week wouldn't have put him off going on a trip.
It would put me off.
Absolutely,
definitely.
It would put me off.
Shane there talked about Rwanda, which is where he went to see the mountain gorillas. Uli as well has just sent us in a text saying that Rwanda is absolutely amazing. He's been there. So I suppose if that's on your bucket list, you know, maybe look at Rwanda. So I asked Shane, you know, after this incident that we've been talking about on the show, in the park, how he sees it affecting tourism in the country, but also in the region.
The problem here is that in a lot of these countries, Africa, Middle East and Asia, let's say the exception of Europe and North America, whenever there's an incident like this, the governments tend to rapidly increase travel warnings and slowly decrease them. In Europe, it's the other way. In Europe, you'll see travel warnings slowly increase and rapidly decrease. And so it is quite different. And it doesn't just affect, in this case, DR Congo. It affects everything around it. And people will generalize and say, oh, my goodness, there's been Britons kidnapped in Congo, therefore Africa is dangerous. Now, Africa's got more than 50 countries, so it doesn't mean it's dangerous, but people extrapolate. They take this information, they apply it to the whole continent, and it's just incorrect. So therefore, I would say this whole region, not just Congo, the whole region will be impacted by stories such as this, because people don't identify, they just identify it's Africa rather than saying, well, it was a certain park in one country that has had issues for quite a long time. They don't look at it that way. They kind of apply it to the whole continent. And I've even heard experienced travellers do this. Experienced travellers, I remember one talking about there was some problems in Burundi. And then they were saying, oh my goodness, there were problems in Burundi, so I shouldn't go to Angola. And I'm thinking, whoa, hang on, that's a long way away from each other where you're going. And how does that relate to the destination you're going? And it just doesn't. But unfortunately, that's what happened.
It's true. That is what happens.
It is. You just kind of, you know, lump a whole region when the problem is located in just one small place. But that's how we perceive it. Now, Africa is a continent where Shane not only lives, but it's very close to his heart. I know it's his favourite part of the world. So I asked him, you know, which parts of the African continent he would really recommend that we do go to.
Look, there's so much to see, and of course I'm based in in Kenya and East Africa, and I think here is overall very safe. No place is entirely safe. As I said many times on our interviews, if you don't use common sense, everywhere in the world is dangerous. But if you use your common sense, you're going to be fine. Overwhelmingly, you'll be safe. So East Africa, Southern Africa, you know how much I love Zambia, just an outstanding destination. Kenya, Zanzibar, Ethiopia, I've been to 6 times, my favorite destination in Africa. Egypt is fantastic, but probably a little bit too hot at the moment to be visiting. I've never been to Western Africa. I've heard fantastic reports about Ghana, Benin and Togo down there. There's so much to see and there's so much different. There are some countries that, Morocco, of course, has a tremendous name for tourism, but again, you're coming into the hot season, so maybe not the best time. There's so much to see and there are so many countries you can visit. And yes, there are some places I wouldn't visit and I won't go into them now, but there are some places I wouldn't visit, but they're unlikely to be on the tourism radar anyway. So just it's a matter of treating each country as an individual, not lumping it together as it's just one, you know, Africa's just one country. It's a continent. And I think that's the important thing. So look at each one. Read reports from fellow travellers who are there, people on there. Look at the media a little bit with caution. They'll only tell you the negative, like these alarm, what I call these alarm stories, rather than the other stories where there's not problems. And also government advisories, also be quite cautious, especially with Africa. They tend to raise the warning levels very quickly and drop them very slowly. So, do your research, and your best research are people who have been there recently and people who live in the areas you wish to travel.
Yeah, because we hear time and time again, don't just ask your family and friends, because they will always say, oh, you better not.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, as Shane said, people that actually live there, if you can get in touch with anyone, is the way to go. But, you know, the gorillas, it's become a lot of people's bucket list thing to go and see, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, everybody kind of wants to get that feeling of seeing the gorillas in the wild.
Do you have that?
Personally, I don't. It's not something that would appeal to me. What about you?
I think I would like it. It's not something that I need to do before I die. It's not one of those things. I think I'd enjoy it if the opportunity arose.
Yeah. Anyway, I did ask Shane, you know, where he would recommend that we actually go if we do want to see gorillas in the wild, where we should do it.
There's only 3 countries in the world you can see them. That's it. It's either DR Congo, Rwanda, or Uganda. There is no other place in the world you can see mountain gorillas in the wild. So your choices are limited. And it's interesting that all these countries are effectively one ecosystem. So it is the western part of Uganda and the western part of Rwanda, which borders the eastern part of the Congo, where these kidnappings occurred. So it's one whole area. I ended up going to Rwanda, which was where Gorillas in the Mist, the Jan Fosse story, was based. That was my decision. I've heard Uganda is very good for gorilla trekking. The gorillas move around a bit. Sometimes Uganda seems to have more gorillas and sometimes Rwanda and sometimes DR Congo, but the experience has shown when there's armed conflict in DR Congo, the gorillas shift across the border to either Rwanda or Uganda. So you've only got 3 choices and it's up to you, and both Uganda and Rwanda I found very safe. But again, you need to check what happens if this conflict spills over the border. The border's a very loose border. And I know there are patrols there, but anything can get through. So you need just to check. If things are really heating up in DR Congo, it will likely to move into Rwanda. So you need to be aware. So just do your research. Do your research before you go.
Definitely the message you're getting this afternoon. Do your research. Even Adam, who would not be put off by anything when it comes to travelling to dangerous places, says he does a lot of research before he goes.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it does come down to wrong place at wrong time.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, no one would want to go to a place if they realise there were going to be bullets flying, but, you know, you can't always plan that way, can you?
No.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.